I've seen this in about three people in the past year, calendar year, that have fallen into sin and they just don't think it's sin anymore. And it's like they meet with me, they meet with others in our church, and we walk them through the process of this is what God says. And they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I just do it myself. I see that as, you know, people who end up falling away from the faith. They're saved, but the danger is they're given over to that sin. Hey there, welcome to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we're answering another listener-submitted question. You can do the same. Simply send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you're new here, make sure that you hit the subscribe button, like, comment, share. All those things are good and help the channel grow. Let's get into today's question. This question's a little, I don't want to say complicated, but it has a lot of things that are working together. So I'm going to do my best to just give a nice, simple answer while also making sure to stick to the scripture. This comes from a gentleman named Joe. Joe writes to us, and he says some nice things about the channel, so we'll just let that go. He says, about 40 years ago, I joined a very legalistic church. They taught salvation by grace, but taught salvation was only a beginning. Now that one was saved, they must now endure, and the inheritance was now in pursuit. They taught that not all Christians would be overcomers, and that some, though saved, might have the door closed on them to further Christian growth due to disobedience. So right off the bat, there is a verse that comes to mind about specifically being a overcomer and what a overcomer is defined by the scripture. It's pretty clear here that the one who overcomes is the one who has put their trust in Jesus Christ. So with Joe's church here saying, well, not, you know, you might be a Christian, you might be, I don't even know if they would say born again, but not everyone who's born again and a Christian is going to be an overcomer. Well, what does the world, what does the word of God say? Whosoever, this is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Talking about now our works, not a part of our justification process, but our outward demonstration of our commitment to the Lord, not of our salvation, but goes on here into verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith specifically. In Christ, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of the God, of God? And there's actually a distinction here. Verses 2 and 3 are talking about the outward demonstration of our faith by loving one another. Jesus talks about that in John 15. But the thing that makes us an overcomer is our faith in Christ. So immediately, Joe, if you're watching this, immediately there's an issue with that church and their teachings. They're against the Bible. And, you know, some would say, well, what do we do in that instance, Pastor, when I find my church leaders to be in error? You approach them with respect. You need to respect their position. Listen, the goal is not for you to win the argument, right? It's not for you to walk into the pastor's office and go, I've caught you. You are wrong and I am right. Give me your job. That's not the point. The point is to be like Priscilla and Aquila with Apollos. Teach them. Get them right, and if they get to the point where now they change their mind, they can keep doing what they're doing, and God be praised as a result of it. But if they don't want to hear it, if they accept your careful designation of God's word biblically, rightly dividing the word, then I think it's time for you to leave, right? Let God work on them. You are not expected to sit under false teaching. We're actually discouraged to do it. That also doesn't mean you get on YouTube and leave nasty comments. Some of you are typing those right now. You stop that. Nor does it mean we make all these accounts and just, you know, be against everybody that we disagree with. Pray for people. Love them by teaching the truth. Anyway, as God had told the Israelites that they could no longer enter the land, he had sworn in his wrath that they could no longer enter his rest, that God could do the same to Christians who rebel. They taught that the Israelites, though shut out of the land, decided to enter on their own and were soundly defeated, for God was not with them. And this is the the part where things get a little confusing. I'm not really sure what that means, because Israel did go into the promised land. There was a generation that died in the wilderness as a result of unbelief. I don't think that's a picture of salvation at all. I think that's a picture of our man ability to continually reject the truth of God. Well, there's going to be consequences for that. This is the key, and I highlighted this for you. They taught that Hebrews 6, where it says, "And this we will do if God permit," was teaching that some Christians, though seeking to grow in Christ, were prevented from doing so as God had closed the door on them. So this is essentially saying there are people who were in sin, right? They're in rebellion. And according to this church, they were not overcomers. And then they changed their mind. And when they sought, I'm guessing, forgiveness or the ability to grow in Christ, God said no. Okay. Though they attempt to grow in Christ, they cannot, for God is not with them to accomplish that. They are still saved, but they cannot move forward anymore. And it's really kind of debatable if they're saved according to this church's theologies, because this church ties overcoming to obedience when the Word of God says overcoming is tied to faith, specifically in Jesus as the Son of God. Back to Joe. I left that group years ago. Good, Joe. But the fear still comes back. This is my heart cry. Okay, this is where my heart is sensitive, because I know how wounding and damaging these doctrines are for people. So, Joe, I understand the fear, but you need to trust in God. And that's why I have this three-point answer for you. I try to advance as a Christian, but fear God has shut the door to growth because I angered him to the point where he swore in his wrath that I cannot proceed no further. That I can proceed no further. And this is very typical of Calvinists. I guess I am assuming that this is a Calvinist church that he was under, but they just take any word and just build all this doctrine around it. And for example, Numbers 14 and some things in Hebrews 6, although there are clear connections principally there, but I think a lot of times Calvinists obsess over these weird connections, and this is one of them. I realize this sounds strange and irrational, but that fear has remained for years. Perhaps I'm trying to move forward as a Christian, but God, as he said to the Israelites, is saying, don't attempt to enter the land, for I have shut you out of it. And everything that I think that is being spoken of in Hebrews about the land, in Hebrews 3, in Hebrews 6, parts of the land is mentioned there, is talking about the rest of our salvation. The rest, not the stuff that has to be completed, but the rest. We don't have a burden now. We don't need to go back to temple sacrifices. We have the blood of Christ. It's already been applied. We are forever sanctified once at the offering of the body of Lord Jesus Christ. And going back to the temple sacrifices would not only bring us the opposite of rest, struggle, strife, but it's also going to bring about the chastening hand of God. And in chapter 6, we could even fall away so far as though we won't change our minds, that repentance is not there anymore. Still saved, but certainly ineffective. I don't want to walk daily with this fear, but it comes and goes. I just wish I had clarification regarding this. So let's answer his question. What does this mean? Was there any scriptural basis for this, what this group taught? Or is the enemy just answering that teaching to stall me in my Christian walk and cause my relationship with God to be fractured? Well, I have 3 points here. The first one is, you are made new in Christ Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, where we see this teaching made clear. Verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, raise your hand if you're in Christ. My hand is raised. I think your hand is raised. If you've put your trust in Christ, you are found in him. Cross-reference Philippians 3:9. He is a new creature, born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think the old things that are passed away there are the designation between us and God for eternal condemnation in hell. That's all gone. Only this body here we have remains as a part of that and our sin nature. But we have become new. Verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only have we been reconciled, meaning the sin that was in the way has been removed, but we've been given the ministry of performing reconciliation to others. I see not only great positioning here now that we're in the body of Christ, but also great purpose. We have been placed. We have a purpose. Verse 19, to wit, to bear witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So I believe if you trusted in Christ as your Savior, you are a new creature. You have the new nature in you. You are born again. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, my second point to your question is God is faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins to him. Now, this is found in 1 John chapter 1. And I'm real tempted here to just start in verse 5 and go through the whole thing. And I'm now going to do that. So let's look in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. See, we don't become like God when we get saved. We're born again. We're now children of God. We are positionally in Christ. We're now completely justified before God. Our sin has been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we still have darkness in us. We still have this flesh nature. Galatians chapter 5 talks about it. The spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, and these two are contrary to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. What is the truth? Well, the truth is you're walking in darkness. The lie is you say you're walking in light. Okay. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We're going the same direction. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, this does not mean as you walk in your spirit, you stay saved. And when you walk in your flesh, you become lost again. This means you're walking in the nature that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is talking about our progressive sanctification, which is a very it's a reality. We are progressively learning each day to forfeit what we have been born into, namely our sinful nature, to say no to the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. The biblical designations for this is the old man, sinful nature, the new man, our new nature, which is found in Jesus Christ, born of God, all of those things. Read Colossians 3, read Ephesians 4. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So now, if we're not only saying, hey, I'm walking in fellowship with him, but you're walking in darkness, you're lying. Verse 8, if you say you don't have any sin at all, you're deceiving yourselves. The truth is not in us. And here's where I want to give you, Joe, hope from God's word. If we confess, if we come to an agreement about our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness is always available. And I think the warning in Hebrews 6 is about the person who does not confess their sin. They continually walk away. We're about to record a video after this where I talk about Hebrews 6. And there's a whole long-form video and an article that I wrote. You can find that in the description. We'll put that in there. But the person who does not confess, what's the risk? It's going to be impossible to renew them. And not to get them saved again, but to bring them back to proper fellowship with the Lord, because they're going to continue to go their own way. But it says here, you ask, you confess. When you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have called my sin personal righteousness. I'm going to get in line with what you say is right. God is faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you. But then my third point is where I want to close, because this is the reality of things. There is still a reaping period, okay? And we find this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, where the Apostle Paul warns the very misguided Galatian region, about nine different cities in this Galatian region here that were succumbing to the Judaizers. Yes, yes, Jesus, yeah, sure. But you got to get circumcised, 50-year-old man. You got to get circumcised. You got to keep the law. And Paul marveled at how soon they were removed from simply faith in Jesus Christ. We have here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay? So there is a reality of you can put scars upon your body. You know, sin has consequences, okay? And in this example, I would so in conclusion, right? This church automatically from the get-go has an improper definition of an overcomer. They have very clearly made salvation a two-part process. You put your faith in Christ, and then you put your works out into the world, and God will justify you through your faith and your works. Doesn't work that way. Read Romans 4, verses 1 through 5 for a reference on that. If that's how they view salvation, then yeah, any interpretation of Hebrews 6 in their mind is going to be talking about enduring into the end. But we do, we are new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We can ask for forgiveness and receive it for our progressive sanctification here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And then also, there is the reality of, while we can receive forgiveness, there is still a reaping period. You reap enough sin in your life without, you know, the repentance of that sin, namely, not for salvation, but for the restored fellowship, then you're going to have consequences. And those consequences can be severe. And the real reality is that a lot of people who continue to walk in sin, the result for them is not really that they're going to seek God and they're not going to find him. Okay, I don't think it's that. I think it's that they don't seek him at all. I've seen this in about three people in the past year, calendar year, that have fallen into sin and they just don't think it's sin anymore. And it's like they meet with me, they meet with others in our church, and we walk them through the process of this is what God says. And they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I just do it myself. I see that as, you know, people who end up falling away from the faith. They're saved, but the danger is they're given over to that sin. So, Joe, I hope that was helpful for you. If it was helpful for those of you who are not called Joe, or maybe your name is Joe and you didn't write in the question, leave a comment, share, talk amongst yourself, and make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Don't forget, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you. May God richly bless you, and I'll see you next week. Take care. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.